We're turning in our Bibles for our scripture reading, please, to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we're going to break into the chapter, commencing to read here at the verse 16. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And amen, and we'll end our reading there at the verse 24. And we trust indeed that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts today for Jesus' sake. We're turning in our Bibles to the portion that we were reading from, Luke chapter 14. Parable of the Marriage Supper. And with God's word open, let's just bow our hearts momentarily in prayer, asking that the Lord would speak to our hearts. We might hear the Lord's voice this day. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for all thy love, mercy, and goodness toward us. We want to praise thee for the privilege of being able to come to thy house and to worship thee. We thank thee for so ordering our circumstances to granting to us the very health and strength that has enabled us to be here. Lord, we thank thee and we praise thee. We ask that thou wilt speak personally, thou wilt speak powerfully to each one of our hearts. May we hear thy tender voice. And O God, we pray that as we hear thy voice, that we will run after thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We'll use as a text for the basis of our message today the words here in Luke chapter 14 and the section in verse 21, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. There are certain subjects that need to be addressed on a regular basis in order to have them fixed in the hearts and the minds of God's people. There are many areas of our Christian life that therefore need to be addressed, need to be reaffirmed, and constantly we need to be reminded about. And therefore they are subjects that you will hear, and I will hear on a regular basis. For instance, one of those areas is the Christian and their communion with the Lord. That is, of course, of vital importance. That fellowship, that relationship that you and I as the Lord's people, that we have with our Heavenly Father. In other words, that we have a relationship, a walk that is up to date, that we are in love with Christ, that we love the Lord, and that we're reading his word, that we're meeting in prayer, that we're devoted to the Lord, that we have those special times, and our communion with the Lord is something that we have to be reminded about each and every day. It's therefore a topic that is brought before the Lord's people on that regular and continual basis. There's not only the Christian and their communion with the Lord, but also their Christian and his or her conversation before the Lord. And of course, our conversation ought to be in heaven. It ought to be about the Lord. It ought to be about spiritual matters. The Word of God reminds us about our tongue, and so much emphasis placed upon that little member. In my own devotions each day, I always start off with the relevant proctor in relevant chapter in Proverbs. Today was Proverbs 15 and verse 1, especially a soft answer, turn of the way wrath, and how we need to watch our tongue and what we say and what we speak. And there's an emphasis placed upon that. So it's a topic, it's something that's going to be continually addressed. And then in preaching, of course, the Christian and his conduct, the way we behave, the things that we do, the things that we don't do, the way we behave ourselves. That we don't just profess the name of Christ, but that we behave as Christians, we act as Christians, and we bear faithfully the Lord's name. Certainly a subject that is a matter that needs to be constantly brought before us is the Christian and his or her company, that friendship. That, in other words, that we have right friends. And that our company is right. Can I say, especially to young people, it's very important that you choose the right friends in life. Let me say, we are all like the people that we are around. And by that I mean, as a Christian, if you have friends who are critical and harsh and bitter in their words, of course Christians wouldn't behave like that, but if you have friends like that, then you're going to find that you're going to be drawn into similar conversations. Therefore, friendship is really important. I was thinking this morning about another matter that needs to be constantly addressed, and that is the Christian and his or her confidence in the Lord. You know, not just our communion, our conversation, our conduct, our company, but also our confidence in the Lord. We're reminded that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why is that? It's because man will fail. We are but flesh and blood. We're prone to failures. We're prone to letdown. But the Lord is unchanging. He is the one that we can place all confidence and all trust. He will never fail us. He will never let us down. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, Proverbs 3, verse 26 reminds us. Just recently, I was with a young man, and he was going to see his doctor about his drug problems and his drug addiction, and he was in the doctor, and I was there beside him talking about his life. And the doctor said, well, can you tell me a little bit about your life? And he said, well, you know, doctor, I can't go to work anymore. I can't talk to people. I can't speak to them. I have no confidence at all. In fact, the only confidence I have is in a strip. And what he was referring to was the only confidence he could gain was in medication, in that strip of medication. In other words, he couldn't face the world. He couldn't go out to work. He couldn't view people or talk to people without taking a tablet. But the Word of God reminds us, of course, about our confidence to be in the Lord. Then another issue that ought to be constantly addressed and is addressed is our topic here today, the Christian and his commission from the Lord, our service for the Lord. For here in this parable, we're reminded about that particular issue. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is a great example of the one who reached out to the multitudes. When we think about evangelism and the need to reach the lost, there are basically two areas of evangelism. Mass evangelism has to do with reaching the multitudes, and of course, when you think of the work of the LDBS, that's a tremendous work in reaching the masses. And they're in the airwaves or through a gospel tract or whatever that may be, through the open air, you're seeking to reach out to the multitudes. And Christ himself preached to multitudes.
He preached the good news.
Of course, he also preached the very reality of man's sin and his standing before God and the need to be born again. But there's not only the need for mass evangelism, but also personal evangelism. And Christ himself dealt with individuals on a one-to-one basis. John chapter 3, he took time to speak to Nicodemus personally. I mean, you think about it, it's amazing that the Lord of glory, the creator of all things, Christ himself, would leave aside the multitude just to speak to one person. That reminds us about the value and the worth of every single soul. That life is precious. And the Savior not only spoke to the likes of Nicodemus, but in John 4 you have the woman of Samaria. A woman that many people would not want to identify with. They would not want to know. And yet Christ brought her that good news and that well of salvation. Life in himself. John 5, the impotent man. And there are many other examples. And this morning we want to consider this need for evangelism to have it reaffirmed, brought before us. Consider with me here the precept to evangelize. The precept. The Lord Jesus here, speaking to his disciples, reminded them, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Here we have an imperative call. The Lord here, speaking to his disciples, was reminding them of the very fact that they needed to go. It's interesting in the Word of God that there are a number of times whenever the Lord gave his disciples very direct commands. For instance, in Matthew 9, verse 37, speaking about the great need of the harvest and the fact that there are multitudes without Christ, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said to them, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, we might not all be able to go to the mission field or into that particular sphere of service, but here is something that we can all do. We can all pray. Pray ye. And that was a direct command. And the Lord was saying to his disciples, here is something, and it's not optional. This is something that you and I, that we all need to do. We need to be praying for the work of God. We need to be praying for the souls of men and women. We need to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. Pray ye. Then in Luke chapter 24, speaking of the need for the power to serve Christ, to serve the Lord, he said, he reminded his disciples, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye. So the Lord says, pray ye. But here he instructs him, tarry ye. You need to wait. Can I say that the Lord just doesn't remind us that we need to do this, but he instructs us. How much time do we take before the Lord, waiting upon him, seeking for his presence, for his blessing, for his power? You see, coming before the Lord in prayer and tarrying and waiting, it is a confession. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. We must wait. Tarry ye. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we remind that the Lord Jesus said, as this cup is a New Testament in my blood, this do ye. And there's another word of instruction. And he was reminding us of the very fact that we need to remember his death. Pray ye, tarry ye, do ye. But of course, we're reminded that the Lord himself said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so there is here the go in this commission. Precept. It's an imperative call. It's also an individual call. Because the Lord is looking for men and women, for individuals, for young people who are willing to say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. We all have our part to play in God's harvest work.
his harvesting.
You might say, well, I'm not able to give out the tracts. I don't feel able to knock doors. I couldn't do this, that, the other, with regards to the various aspects of the Lord's work. But there is something that we can all do. Some people might say, well, and this has been quoted to me on many occasions, all I can do is pray. Let's put it in perspective. The best that we can do is pray. What a great work and labor there is before the Lord in prayer. Writing a card, sending a message, should it be a text? There is some part in the Lord's work that each one of us can be involved in. It's also an immediate call here, because here the Lord was speaking to his disciples and he reminded them of the need to go out quickly. In the parable here, the man was sent out and he was sent to the various people and he was given that commission to bring them, to invite these men and women. And it's a picture of the great harvest supper and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they were sent out to invite individuals to come in. Of course, they were faced with rejection. They were faced with opposition. They were faced with disappointment. And yet the Lord reminded them, go again, but go out quickly. That is because there is a sense of urgency and immediacy. Life is short. Young person, you will soon find that life passes by very, very quickly. And the best time to serve the Lord is whenever you have your youth, when you have your strength, when you have that ability to give and to give again. It's an immediate call. Go out quickly. I wonder, do we see the urgency and the need? Is it really impressed upon our hearts? Or will we have to say that we're taken up with other things? And yes, we do need to give time to family, to business, and to all those areas there. That's important. That's vital. But primarily, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's also an important call. It's important because of the one who calls us and the one who sends us. It's not merely a man. It's not the invitation, the instruction of a church. It's not the mandate of a denomination. It is the commission of Christ himself. He has given us this precept. He has sent us into his harvest field that we might be laborers for him. There is a precept to evangelize, but there are the people we are to evangelize. Notice what it says here in the verse 21. We read here, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. The word streets there is the Greek word plateia, which is also translated as wide place. And it's translated as wide place in Matthew 7 in the verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And here, as the Lord was speaking about going to the streets, the street spoken of here isn't just a road, but it is a wide place. We might use the description of a broad road. It's a large square. And we are to seek to reach out to men and women who are on that broad road. Are we really concerned? This is the question that we ask. Are we concerned? And does it bother us? Does it trouble us? That men and women and young people are facing eternal ruin. And the question is, what are we doing to seek to reach them? We are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, and what a great need there is. Many years ago, I was speaking at a youth meeting. It was quite a large youth meeting. And was challenging young people to really pray about their future and what the Lord would have them to do. And after the meeting, a young man came to speak to me, and I must admit, I was at a loss for words. I really was. He came to me and he said, "As you were preaching tonight, I was really thinking about my life and the direction of my life. I'm studying medicine at university. I'm a third year student. I'm looking forward to graduating. But you were challenging, and you were challenging me about the mission thing." This is what he said. "I hope and I pray God never calls me to the mission field, because I've got my whole medical profession in front of me." I was at a loss for words. Couldn't help but think, a young man with great ability and great talent, great skill, and every single thing that he had, the Lord had given to him. The very ability to study, the very enablement to pass his exams, and to be in that profession. Can I say to those who are young, don't hold back with the Lord. Don't ever feel or think, well, if I surrender my life to the Lord, you know, he's just going to change things around and I'm going to miss out. And let me say, you'll never regret putting the Lord first. Never. We're told here about the people we are to evangelize, where we are to work. But we're also told to whom we are to witness. For here we read about different categories of people in the verse 21. "Go on quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind." You notice these different categories. You have the poor. Of course, reminding us about the underprivileged and the disadvantaged. But whenever you and I think about the poor, we're not just reminded about those who are disadvantaged in that sense, but we think of those who are poor before God. Let me say, that includes every man and every woman. For the sinner is spiritually bankrupt before God. You're in our meeting this morning. It doesn't matter the balance of your bank account. It doesn't matter what possessions you have in life. No matter how much material possessions you have accumulated. If you have not Christ, then the Bible states you are poor. Spiritually poor. The rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he had everything, hadn't he? He had the popularity, he had the prestige, he had the possessions. But he didn't have the Lord as Savior. The Bible tells us that he went away sorrowful. You see, he had everything. But in reality, he had nothing. Because we shall leave it all behind whenever we depart from this world. There are the poor, then there is the maimed described here. And the maimed speaks about a person missing a limb or crippled. And what the Lord here was instructing his disciples and teaching them was, whenever you go out and you're seeking to evangelize and you're seeking to bring that good news and to warn men and women of the danger of perishing in sin, you're going to come across lots of different people. You will meet the poor, but you'll also meet the maimed. Perhaps somebody, and they're missing a limb. And what the Lord was saying here was, don't you be prejudiced. Don't be thinking, well, you see that individual there, their knife will never be of much use to God. They're certainly of no value, they're of no worth. They need the Lord every bit as much. And the Lord would remind us too, that we are not to be filled with prejudice. But rather we are to love sinners and to seek to win them. Then you have the halt here, those who don't have that right walk. And that's what it speaks about. And once again, it's a picture of man in his sin, man without the Lord. He doesn't have that right walk with God. In John 5, you have the impotent man at the pool. And for 38 years, he lay in that place. And the Lord came by and graciously touched him. And gave to him that walk again. Christ can meet the need. Then here in verse 21, you have not only the poor, the maimed, the halt, but also the blind. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Because here in Matthew 15 and verse 12 through to 14, we think about the blind, we think of physical blindness, but there is a spiritual significance here. Matthew 15 and verse 12, where we read, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." You hear the Lord speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees, was speaking about them in this Greek word, typhlos. And what is this word comes from a root meaning, and the meaning is to be high-minded, to be lifted up. That's what this word blindness means. And here when the Lord was speaking about the religious leaders, he was saying of them that they're spiritually blind. And not only are they spiritually blind, but they're leading others who are in blindness. But they're spiritually blind because they're so filled with pride. They're lifted up with pride. They're high-minded. And here are these high-minded, prideful men, spiritually blind. And they're seeking to instruct others. And can I say that here, as the Lord would remind us today about the need to reach out to the blind, we are to evangelize not only the rebellious and those who are right down in the depths of sin, but we're to evangelize not only the down and out, but the up and out. In other words, those who are religious and who need the Lord every bit as much. Remember knocking a dear lady's door one day. I went to their house and started the conversation. It was a nice day and I was talking to her. And then she said, what's the purpose of you being here? How can I help you? Very pleasant. And I said, I just came to talk to you about the things of God and to ask, are you saved? Well, her complexion changed very quickly. And she, we have great expressions here in Ulster. She had a face on her like thunder. And she basically said, how dare you ask me such a question? And basically closed the door in my face. In other words, the thought was, have a look around about you. Look at the house you're standing at and the cars and all the possessions. I'm a respectable member in society. A woman filled with pride. But in every bit in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us remember the various people and the categories that we are to reach out to. The precept to evangelize, the people we are to evangelize, and just moving on here in closing, we have the purpose of evangelism. Notice here the purpose. It's stated for us in the verse 23. We'll read the verse 22 to get the context. Here the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. In other words, the servant went out, he invited, and people came. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You see, the reason that we serve the Lord, the purpose, the aim, the sole purpose, is for the glory of God. And everything that we seek to do, whether we eat or drink, it is for the glory of God. And as we think about the need to evangelize and to reach out, it is for the glory of God. it is that our Lord would see the travail of his soul and be abundantly satisfied. It is that many sons will be won to glory, and that Christ will be glorified. Let me just ask in closing, how do we view the souls of men this day? Do we see people as trees walking? Or do we view them as precious, precious souls in need of God's salvation? You see, it is our duty to serve the Lord. It is our responsibility. But above that, it ought to be our delight and our privilege. I trust today that we will refocus our vision upon Christ our Saviour, follow in his blessed footsteps, be obedient to his word, his will, and live our lives seeking to reach precious souls for God's glory. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts this day. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. What are we really doing? We just don't want to have our hearts stirred for a moment or two and think upon it for a while, but we really want to put things in perspective. What are we doing? There's something that each one of us ought to be doing. Dear child of God, there is a work specifically that God wants you to do. Heavenly Father, we ask that it'll please thee to touch our hearts this day. Help us to look out upon a world that is lost and dying in sin. Lord, to be moved. Father, I confess to thee my need for thee to save me from myself, my own selfish desires and ways and lusts. And Lord, I pray in the Saviour's name that you'll work in all of our hearts and lives. Grant to us greater love for Jesus Christ, which in turn will give us greater love for our fellow man. Separate us in thy fear and favour. Watch over us throughout the remainder of this thy day. Bring us back tonight rejoicing. And Lord, to thee we give all the praise and glory for Jesus' sake. Amen.